This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Is being in first place with the division something that you guys pay attention to when it's only week 7?
No, hell no. I think the biggest thing is don't drink the Kool-Aid. Right now, obviously, they're going to say a lot of good things about you. And just the second quarter of the season, you know, you break it up in quarters. And don't buy into that. You know, like, you get distracted by how good they tell you you are. And you get to doing different things or not committed to the process how you were before. So I don't think this is not that kind of team. We're not that kind of team. I feel like we came in with the right mindset today, trying to get back on track. We feel like we left a lot of plays out there. You know, even me, I feel like I took a touchdown away from Pop, and I had some things going on out there. So trying to be better, and I'm back on the grind. You know, just don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't get caught up in that bullshit. Just neither here nor there. We'll figure it out. You know, 10 more games from now.
That was Stephon Diggs yesterday discussing the Patriots and what does it mean to you to be a first-place team. Says, don't drink the Kool-Aid, Keith.
So here's a term I am familiar with.
I am familiar with this one as well.
Your uncle Jim Jones murdered like 1,000 people with the Kool-Aid.
Damn.
So, yeah, you obviously would know. You're a little too close to that one.
Yeah, it's a dark memory for our family.
Jonestown.
Yeah.
That reference I get 100%. I've heard that one a long time. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. On the first place Patriots, it is amazing. Like every single thing Steph Diggs has said over the last month, you're just like, yeah, that's spot on.
And like
he even was talking about, he's like, I took a play away from
Pop.
I took a touchdown away from Pop Douglas, mm-hmm. where I think most everybody else looked at that and said, the refs took a touchdown away from Pop Douglas. Like that was a bad call. It's a dumb call, it's a late call. One of the worst calls when you factor in kind of where it was and then the delay of it. One of the worst calls people have seen, and he's like, yeah, we got to get better. Like, I took a touchdown away. It's like my fault. Like, he puts the blame on himself for that. And they are 6 games into the season. They're not in the playoffs yet. They certainly haven't won the division yet. And some of that talk kind of feels like that. It's the nature of football where you have a week in between games. And you're sort of like living off the highs of the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, that's the right approach. That's the right mindset.
Well, and I feel like he's consistently done that, which is, again, I've said this maybe every single week for the last couple of weeks, coming in and hearing Steph Diggs talk about that upcoming game or recapping the previous game. That's the biggest thing I think to this point I've been wrong about with Diggs. Like, he's better on the field than I thought. He was out there. I didn't think he'd be out there week one, so like his health is better than I thought. I was wrong about all those things. I think the thing I was most wrong about, at least in this honeymoon period that you've talked about a lot,
Keith,
is he is bought in. You're going to hear more from Vrabel, Diggs about Vrabel and buying in with the coach here. But I kind of thought Diggs was going to be more mercenary, more out for himself. He might wear out his welcome. I mean, that is his history. He did it in Buffalo. He did it in Minnesota. It's debatable if he did it in Houston or not, but they certainly didn't want him back. And look at that receiver room. They could use receivers. So his history is he wears out welcomes. That might still be in the future. But for right now,
yeah, live in the now.
The man is bought in.
Yeah.
And the messaging there is great. It's not crying about the refs, like
right.
All of us, ourselves included, did. the callers have all done.
Yeah.
People were doing live during the game watching it.
I was going to say, even if he did, people would be like agreeing with him.
Yeah,
but
they
no,
would.
You want even better
but
than that.
But he said, no, yeah. It's not the refs. It was me. I took it away from him. And on top of that, guys, let's not drink the Kool-Aid. We're 4-2. There's a long season left, so mm-hmm. let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that messaging from Diggs has been consistently strong, and I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, because if anybody was going to sort of like be so caught up in one game, it might be him. For you know, because of the Buffalo game and
yeah.
like how what that meant, but it was after the Buffalo game when we played the comments last week, when he was like, in many ways, this next game is tougher because you know going up against the first place team, the measuring stick game, the reigning MVP of the league, like all of that, then you still got to go out and play the rest of the season, and that next week could be a little bit of a letdown because you know what really motivates you other than it's just another week in the NFL to play the Saints, like a one win team, you're like oh you could easily get kind of caught in that trap. They didn't. And then, all right, so you pass that test, but you're not done. Like it's, and that's why, like having some of these veterans, like they got rid of so many of their previous years' captains and like veteran guys. And one of the things Mike Vrabel did was not only did he bring in his pretty much his entire own coaching staff, but look at some of these guys that have come in here and the teams that they have been on. I mean, Milton Williams just won a Super Bowl. Harold Landry's been on a bunch of good teams. Steph Diggs has obviously been on a bunch of good teams. Hasn't won it, but he's been on a lot of good teams, and they know what it takes to be good all season long.
Well, and again, not to bring it back to Devers, but like I think the parallel works. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to get the old regime out to yeah. let the new leaders come in. And I didn't think Diggs would be one of them. It appears he is, but he's not a captain. Like, the new captain's on the team.
Yeah.
They got rid of pretty much every captain on the team from a year ago outside of our guy Hunter Henry.
Yeah. But he was like a replacement captain. Like the start
Correct.
Of the year captains, I think, are all gone.
So yeah. it's not just like those guys can still be on the team and then new leaders come in alongside them. It's like, nope, because guys were on the team last year. They're still listening. No. Get in your guys. Mm-hmm. Have them lead. Have them buy in on what Vrabel's selling. Some of those ex-Titans players. And that appears to be working. And so you have to get the old leadership out to let the new leadership emerge. And I think some of that is working here. Diggs was asked directly about buying in on Mike Vrabel, his coaching style, his whole program here in year one in New England. Here's what Diggs had to say about that.
What did you think about just getting Diggs to buy in?
I don't know how he does it. And you got me to buy it, I'll tell you that. But I just think that you respect him as a coach. Also, him being a player kind of adds another layer to it. And he practices what he preaches. He's going out there grinding. He's pushing on guys. He's preaching maximum effort, and he shows you that like our success is a direct correlation from our practice and how we grind. So when you buy into the process and you see the results, it's like, damn, it does work. So it's easy to kind of go in. If he was going in and doing all these things and we weren't winning, it was probably easy to be like, man, I ain't really jacking that. But things have been going pretty good so far. So buy into the process, do what your coach, and you know, he makes it pretty natural. Everybody just play their position, do their part.
So I do think this is one of the appealing things about Vrabel.
Yeah.
Was not my number one choice this offseason, wasn't even my number two choice this offseason. We both like Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I like Liam Cohen. If you really sat down and I looked at it again, there are probably other coaches I preferred.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff about Vrabel that I did find appealing.
Duval.
He's off to a good start. Yeah, he actually is.
But
yeah.
like, I don't follow it close enough. Do you think Liam Cohen is getting buy-in or are they just winning games? I do think there's a difference.
He's kind of corny, but like some of his post-game locker room stuff,
do they believe in him?
I don't know. I mean, well, he certainly doesn't
Duval.
Have the that would be tough,
you know.
But like he doesn't have the track record that Vrabel does. But it doesn't mean you can't start from somewhere. But I was even going to ask with Vrabel, like there is the chicken or the egg thing there, where like they're winning, so they're bought in, or they bought in so they're winning, like what. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right.
How do you know? Like, they're 4-2. They just beat the Bills.
But I think the
but probably prior to that,
the appeal with Vrabel is program building, culture building.
Yeah.
And so.
And he's very pro player. Like, he puts over the players all the time. Like, he gives those guys a ton of credit. I mean, he gave the entire team a game ball last week. He didn't single out Drake May. I know that's sort of a side little topic, but
he did yesterday. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
he was like, oh, why not? It was just the quickest way to get out of there.
Yeah,
otherwise, it would have been
May and Booty,
May
right?
Booty and Christian Ellis, I think he said.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yep, good friend of the show.
Yeah,
and
best
so
friend.
I think he like singled some guys out, like, this is who I would have given game balls to. He still didn't.
But he's like, everybody deserved one. But
he said it was a team win, so he gave it out. No, they're all winning.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson has a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Are guys buying in on Ben Johnson? I don't know.
Mm.
So Look, it is chicken and egg. Are they buying in because they're winning? I think you heard some of that from Diggs. He's like, well, it's going pretty good, so let's buy in.
Yeah.
Or are they winning because of the buy-in? It's a fair debate.
But I think that's also why, I mean, I think Robert Kraft and the familiarity is why he hired Mike Vrabel. But it's why it made sense. So even though you and I and others maybe wanted like the offensive guru and sort of see how that worked, that was a little bit more of a like lottery ticket. Like maybe you get Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, or maybe you don't. Maybe you get Mike McDaniel. Like maybe it goes the other way. And Mike
McDaniel, you get Brian Callahan.
Maybe you get Brian Callahan.
Right.
So you know. So like, and the franchise was in such a state that they couldn't afford to do that. Like the last year of Belichick was awful. The first year of Mayo was awful. So they were like, we got to at least get back to respectable. So this guy we know can do that. And maybe the ceiling's a little bit higher, way higher floor, like a higher floor than Ben Johnson. I would still argue maybe the ceiling's not as high, but.
Oh, I agree.
You know, but we'll see where it goes.
And I think the shelf life isn't as long. You know, if you get one of these McVay types or these Kevin O'Connell types, I think it's higher ceiling and it's a long shelf life.
Yeah, unless McVay quits to do TV. Like
no, but that would be on his terms. Like,
I don't think the Rams are firing him. Yeah, right.
I do think guys like Vrabel tend to burn hot. So there's a trade-off with Vrabel, but I think the appealing part of it is you hit the ground running, you start fast. And with the schedule they have this year, I think they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's chicken and egg. But I do think from listening to guys, it sounds like they're buying in on Vrabel. I'd be curious to look at that closer as to our guys bought in on Mr. Duval there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Are they bought in on Don Johnson slash Ben Johnson in Chicago? Like, those don't feel like guys who you're buying in on right away.
No. It is funny, though, when you also compare it to last season and just how they might be polar opposites. Like, literally from game one, where the Patriots lose what we thought was a very winnable game, and you're like, oh, man, this might be more of a grind. And then they snap out of it, and they win four of their next five games, whereas last year they win the first game. They beat Cincinnati. You're like, wait a minute, they just beat Joe Burrow. Like, maybe they're going to be good. They were not good. They were the worst team. They were, like, the worst team in the league after that moment. And so, I don't know, maybe things are going to be polar opposites different. And, that was the hope once they hired Vrabel that he would have that kind of impact.
Let me give you another one that I would give Vrabel credit for that I was very unsure about how it would go. And if you remember, Keith, when Terrell Williams was first away from the team, we're like, Vrabel should run the defense.
Right.
I don't want a question mark on defense, especially coming off a very, very, very poor defensive game against Geno Smith and the Raiders. Like, remember, Geno Smith's actually kind of good, and it's not that bad that he carved you up. It's like, no, he sucks.
Please.
He's terrible.
Please.
And I think he's proven that over the course of the season. Zach Kerr is your defensive coordinator and play caller. That's one that Vrabel delegated that I didn't think was going to be the right button to push. I didn't think it was going to work out. And look, I don't love everything I've seen out of the defense. I don't. Last week against the Saints, it felt like they had a little more life than I would have expected going in. They made Rattler look a little better than I thought they would, right down to the first play, or the first drive anyway, where they bombed it to Olave, which I didn't see coming.
Thanks a lot, Kyle Duggar.
But that's one that's worked out.
That was a big chunk of his yard. That one play was a quarter of his yards.
Oh, of Rattler's yards.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it was like half of Olave, of Rattler's yards. Yeah. But that's one that's worked out. And we haven't really mentioned it at all on this show. Maybe others have. We haven't really mentioned it at all. That's one that Vrabel adapted, pivoted, identified that guy, put him in that spot. And while the defense has been a little underwhelming, we thought it could be top 10-ish. Let's see if they take advantage of that this week against Cam Ward. That's another one where it's like, I can see why guys would buy in. They like Terrell Williams. Vrabel said, no, we're going to this guy. I'm not going to call defense. I'm the head coach. I'm the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's getting the delegated job. And that'd be another reason for guys to buy in. They see his decisions working in real time.
Yeah, because that is one of the knocks that you'll hear about some of like those offensive genius guys is like how much command do they have over the entire team, right? Like they're so fixated on offense. And even like Andy Reid would get that sort of knock. And he's had a ton of success. But it's like, all right, you're offensive head coach. You need to find a defensive head coach. Whereas Vrabel looks at it like, no, I'm going to be the team head coach. And even though, you know, really you have two differences. You have one guy who's never been a defensive coordinator. Then you have another guy on the other side who's been an offensive coordinator for 20 years. And then, so it's completely different. But I think that call combined with Christian Gonzalez coming back,
that
certainly helps
that
any new play caller on defense.
True.
But yeah, that has been a good call so far.
It's funny. Anytime we bring up McVay, there's like
people don't like McVay because
why is that? Are they
lost the Super Bowl to Belichick.
Yeah.
No, because they remember that one moment. They don't remember that he won after that, and he's been like a constant winner. So they don't like that.
I think that's a Bill person or maybe a former Bill person these days
because Bill beat him in the Super Bowl. So they're like the guy stinks.
Well. So it could be that. It could also just be like people are threatened, like, McVay.
Are you talking
about
somebody else being good?
Yes.
Maybe.
I think it's some of that, but it's like text line. You guys talk about McVay like he's got 6 rings. Well, no.
No.
I mean,
he has 1 ring.
He got to a Super Bowl with Goff. He then won it with a different quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. He has he even coached 6 full years in the NFL? I'm not sure he could even. Is he even capable of having 6 rings?
Yeah, he came
in
2017.
This is his 9th year.
Okay, wow. So that's more than
I thought.
He just
entered his 9th year.
Yeah. So look, McVay's a good coach. If that upsets you and doesn't make you happy, then I don't know what to tell you. But he's a good coach. 617-779-7937. Real quick, Keith.
Yes.
We have a Thursday night football tonight.
What's the matchup?
We mentioned the Steelers a couple of different times.
Oh, it's the Steelers.
The Steelers are currently the number 2 seed in the AFC. So I want to sit down and watch this. Am I crazy to kind of like the quarterback matchup tonight too?
I think it's
the second.
What year is it?
It's the second oldest quarterback matchup I think in NFL history, if I have that right. Brady Breeze, I think, was the oldest.
I was going to say, it had to be a Brady one.
It was.
Okay.
I think Brady Breeze, Brady Rogers probably was on that list at some point in time. But tonight we get Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco.
Oh my God.
I kind of like it.
2 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They each won 1, which is crazy. Yeah, you like that one?
I do. I just want to sit down and see if I haven't given the Steelers enough credit and
Are you going to learn that by watching the Bengals?
Well, the Bengals are horrible defensively, but if they stub their toe against the Bengals, we'll learn something about them in a different way.
Is Vontaze Burfict playing in the game? Remember, this would be a bloodbath.
This was his Super Bowl. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
These guys, this was not like you could. It didn't matter what the record was. Didn't matter who was playing. These were some crazy games. Now, less so, but it is a division game. It's in Cincinnati. It's Thursday night football.
It's a short week. Like, it's a quick turnaround. It's at Cincinnati. I expect the Steelers to win, but
spread's only 4.5.
I want to watch and critique. The Steelers right now are the number 2 seed in the AFC. The Patriots should have beat this team.
They should have.
This game might tell you a little something about your actual ceiling in the AFC tonight.
I am excited for one thing.
And you get some old-timers out there ready for a primetime game.
One thing you could set your watch to is fourth quarter garbage time Ja'Marr Chase fantasy points. It's been consistent. They've been down 30 points. He gets like 100 yards and a score in the fourth. And you're like, yay.
I'm telling you, Flacco's good. Flacco's good for those guys.
He's good with Jake Browning.
He's good. Well, he did 1 week with Jake Browning.
Yeah, well, that's all
he
needed.
Not all the other weeks with Jake Browning.
No, I guess not. No, I know.
So I think he's good for that matchup.
All I care about is that Flacco is still the quarterback when the Bengals play the Browns, so he can set the record for being the first quarterback ever to play.
You've been quite hung up on that.
In the same matchup. For 2 different teams.
But this is, I mean, right now, and again, you saw this team a couple of weeks ago. They beat the Patriots. Patriots should have beat them. This tells you a lot about the state of the AFC. This team tonight, go watch them. This team tonight right now is the number 2 seed.
That's a good point.
In the AFC, knocking on the door of the number 1 seed, which, by the way, is the Indianapolis Colts through 6 weeks.
Also,
that's the state of the conference. So when you say, can the Patriots win the division? Can the Patriots go on a run? What is their ceiling? Sit down and watch the game tonight through that prism. And I think there's a chance we learn something.
If you were a Jets fan, and I hate to put that on you even for a hypothetical, but if you were a Jets fan and you're watching Aaron Rodgers spin it and just have like a good season, like, what are you thinking about? Like, that would be so maddening because I thought he was done. After last year, you're like, he's washed.
Well, you were in on him last year.
Last year, I was way in on him.
Then the year happened.
Yeah.
And then you're, yeah.
He's cooked.
I thought he was going to drag him to a losing season.
He was like the last guy picked. You know, he was like the last starting quarterback picked. Russell Wilson had a job in New York, as short-lived as it was. And now he's got 10 touchdowns, 3 picks. He has over 1,000 yards passing already. His team is 4-1. Like, he's playing well.
No, he is.
It's bizarre.
It's a good quarterback matchup this weekend, Keith. The other one I got my eyes on.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, you got 2 lefties going head-to-head this weekend.
Ooh, that's rare.
First time in 19 years.
Ooh, Tua Penis?
Tua Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, there's 3 lefties in the league now. There was a time before Tua, there was no lefties, right?
Yeah, I think
Tua,
that's right.
Tagovailoa.
So you got Tua and Dylan Gabriel. Last time was Chris Sims and Mike Vick, who was back in the news because John Gannon. You see his answer.
I saw Jonathan Gannon's answer. So when did you learn to take emotion out of coaching? When our quarterback went to prison in 2007.
When he went to prison, that's when.
I was like, man.
That's a real answer. That is.
That was a walk-off, too. Yeah. He said that and walked off. No, there was
the coaches were speechless. The reporters were speechless.
Yeah, reporters were like.
The PR guy's like, I guess we're done.
I think we're out of here.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for not making that weird at all. No, there was a stretch there where there were, like, no lefty quarterbacks, and prior to Tua, it was like 5 years. It was like Vic and Tua, and then there was like Kellen Moore like came in, like spot start and have like a touchdown pass or something.
Lefty QBs and old QBs. What a week. 617-779-7937.
Making a comeback.
You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll get to some Red Sox chatter. Craig Breslow doing a bit of a media tour yesterday. What's your trust level? Mine's high. What's your trust level in Craig Breslow? Let's get to it. Right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Celtics closed out their preseason schedule with a 110-108 win over the Raptors at the Garden last night. Derek White led all scorers with 33 points. Jaylen Brown exited the game in the first quarter due to hamstring tightness. After the victory, Joe Mazzulla said he expects Jaylen Brown to be, quote, okay. The season will begin the regular season next Wednesday when they host the 76ers. At yesterday's Patriots practice, Jalen Hawkins, Anthony Jennings, and Harold Landry did not participate. Steph Diggs and three other players were limited. Christian Gonzalez and Keon White were both full participants. Pats are back on the practice field today at 2:20. This Sunday, the Patriots will be in Tennessee taking on the Titans. Week 7 in the NFL begins tonight with a Thursday night football matchup between the Steelers and the Bengals. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7. Westwood One's coverage begins at 7:30 with kickoff at 8:15. Tonight, the Bruins are in Las Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. Puck drop at T-Mobile Arena is at 10 o'clock. In the MLB playoffs last night, the Blue Jays got the 13-4 win over the Mariners. Mariners still lead the ALCS 2-1. Game 4 is tonight. First pitch is at 8:33. And the NLCS continues tonight as well. The Dodgers have a 2-0 series lead on the Brewers. First pitch in Game 3 is at 6:08. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
And, you know, obviously guys like Alex and Trevor, they have opt-outs built into their contract, and we respect that. At the same time, so much of the offseason is building contingencies and alternatives and identifying your pivot points. So from that respect or through that lens, like we're constantly mapping out, you know, a bunch of different paths to improving the team. It's a lot like a choose your own adventure book, right? And you know, as one decision is made, lead you down a little bit different path, and you try to kind of acquire as much information you can about all options, make the best that you can, and know that nobody walks out of an off season having executed perfectly the plan that they anticipated executing in the middle of October.
That was Craig Breslow on the 3:10 to Left podcast. Tom Caron and Alex Speer.
Choose your own adventure. Something humans do. My favorite books.
The off season is like a choose your own adventure. Nobody does their plan in the off season.
It's like a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
You have to put it in funny words, see what they come up with.
I mean, not for nothing. I feel like Dombrowski used to do exactly what he wanted to do every off season.
Oh, Dombrowski usually nailed it. I think he went in, he's like, I'm going to get David Price and I'm going to get Craig Kimbrell and I'm going to do that.
I think the Dodgers kind of do everything they want every single off season.
And then some. Sometimes they add players that I don't even think they even want it. They're like, oh, we'll take him too.
So
we'll take Blake Snell.
Look, messaging is not that man's strong suit.
No.
But I don't like to hear, and this is somebody who I believe in his baseball decision making. If you don't like Breslow the robot and you don't like, you know, how he carries himself and how he talks to the media and interacts with human beings, fine, I'll grant you all those things. But when it comes down to baseball decisions, like his offseason last year,
yeah,
I think was great. So I trust him. I don't like hearing already in a year where, and this is where I think I can meet the Devers people in the middle. In the year after they trade Rafael Devers to save money and to get that a-hole off the team,
mm-hmm,
and allow people like Bregman to actually come in and lead. And you said this yesterday, Keith. He goes to the Giants. They stink. He's already gotten the manager fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy they moved on from that. But now you've saved that money. This is when you spend it. People crying about spending it at the deadline didn't know what they were talking about. You weren't going to replace that money at the deadline. It wasn't going to happen. Now, the offseason, that's when it's going to happen. And I don't like already hearing about backup play. The World Series hasn't even started. It's not over. We're not at winter meeting, GM meetings, anything. And he's already talking about pivot plans and like fallback plans. That I just don't want to already hear about that.
Yeah, we know he's bad at trade deadlines. We know that.
That
there's
one,
no.
So far, he has not been good at those.
0-2.
Yes. Yeah.
He's had two cracks at it, and he's been really bad at it. When you want a player, when you want to extend a player, he's been great. He, Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony, Sadon Raffaello was his, Brian Bello was his. Christian Campbell, I don't know if you want to give him credit yet for that. But anyway, like those are all guys that he has signed to long-term. So that part is good. Last offseason, you can't deny how good it was. Like they got Garrett Crochet, who might be the best pitcher in the American League. They got Alex Bregman, who, well, that's another whole side debate now. But at the time, that was a great get. Carlos Narvaez, even, like, that was a good get. Aroldis Chapman was the best closer in all of baseball.
I mean, Chapman's another one they've already extended.
Another one. So add him to the list.
Him with Crochet, yeah, and everybody else. Yeah.
So it was awesome. Also, I don't think Craig Breslow woke up one day and was like, I'm trading Devers on my own.
No.
He was told to trade Devers. He got a horrible return for him.
Yeah.
But he was told to trade him. And we know that he was told, because the Giants confirmed this, we're not paying for him. We're not paying for anything. So get the best you can get. And he's like, well, this is the best I can get for not paying for him. I'm not giving him an excuse for that. I mean, those guys are terrible. They got a horrible return. But he did what he was told in that regard.
He was hamstrung in some ways. He still should have done better
than
he did
now,
on the return.
So now this offseason is when you can maybe make up for that. Or maybe, you know, as pissed as a lot of people were about the Devers trade in general, regardless of the return, this is where you go out and actually help your team. You need to replace it. Now, it doesn't mean you hand out another, you know, $300 million deal. I would like that. That'd be great. But maybe it's a couple of 150s. You know, you can get a couple of really good players for 150s. You have to spend it now, or it makes this past mid-season moves that he made look even worse. Like you have to do something this year.
It makes that look worse, and it makes the Devers move specifically look worse.
Yes.
Like if you turn around and pay Pete Alonso, I like Alonso better than Devers anyways.
Same.
You upgrade.
Yeah.
Never mind the a-hole teammate that he was. I think you got a better player. He's been a better player than Devers. You know, more 40 home run seasons, more MVP votes, all these things, mm-hmm, you know? So I like him better than Devers. Oh, Devers is a third baseman. No, he isn't.
Well, yeah,
so look, I think there's a chance to upgrade, but it is going to be a big test. Our guy Justin in D.C. on Twitter sent this to us unprompted earlier today.
Okay.
Breslow is trash. I know you feel that way. And the fans will 100% sour on him. This I agree with. As the offseason continues, the Devers trade, plus losing Bregman, relying on an injured story, and Meyer is nuts. If that is the offseason,
oh, God, I'm right there.
Bregman walks, yeah, and the replacements are story opting in. Mm-hmm. I guess there was mixed reporting on that yesterday that he plans to, that he doesn't plan to. Sean McAdam, I guess it was more of a feeling than a report.
Mm-hmm.
But story may opt in. And then Meyer at third. I mean, if that's the plan, you should sour on Breslow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm falling for it again, Keith. Although people say we fall for it every offseason with the Red Sox. They did sign Bregman last offseason.
So they had a great offseason last offseason. You can't say that that was bad.
But the idea of like, oh, every offseason we get to it and it's like, are the Red Sox going to spend and are they going to bring anybody in? Bregman's one of the guys I wanted him to get. They got him.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend they didn't do that offseason or last offseason. If they come out of it with what Justin and DC is saying, mm-hmm, or they lose Bregman and don't replace him, well, then, yeah, people deserve to sour on Breslow.
Yeah.
If Bregman's back and they sign Alonso, then people should be giving him credit. And I want to draw that line in the sand now, because that would be a really good offseason.
They need to, but here's the thing, is the expectations are now even a lot higher, because you made the playoffs, you did have a pretty good team, you have a young core that is locked up, and now you don't have that excuse about the money. It shouldn't matter anyway. In reality, they should have, if they wanted to, kept Devers, paid Bregman, brought in Alonso, the Red Sox. But that's, unfortunately, not the case anymore. And we could spend the whole show arguing about that and, you know, the price to go to the game versus what they're spending on the players. But I think everyone's aware of that. So you're just sort of like, you know, you're beating a dead horse. They need to, though, re-sign Bregman and bring in two impact players. And that is not asking too much. You have the money to do it. Plus, they sort of set that too. They're like, well, we don't want to trade for anybody that's a rental, right? That was the big talk during the trade deadline. So you almost let us kick the can down the road on Joe Ryan. Well, now we're at that road. Like, now we've moved down. Now it's, okay, make a deal for him. If everyone's making deals for him, if the Twins are going to move him now, then do it. And so last year they executed a really successful offseason. This year they need to do it as well, or it is going to be people are going to lose their minds. I mean, you've sort of set that bar up pretty high.
Oh, look, I think he's going to have a good offseason. He had a good offseason last year. But that's a belief. If he doesn't do it, then people will be right to have their pitchforks and complain. And Justin and DC will be right.
If you don't get...
The fans will turn even more than they have. If they don't bring Bregman back, I think they will. And if they don't add another bat on top of it, which I hope they will, I'm not sold they will, I do think they're going to trade for starting pitching. I feel pretty confident about that. What caliber, we can debate. But I do think they're going to trade for starting pitching.
I hope you're right. You know, if they don't get Joe Ryan or Hunter Green or somebody like that. And then, or Tarek Skubal.
Don't cross Skubal off the list.
I'm not, he's top of my list.
I'm not telling you the Red Sox are getting him, but I think he's moving.
But if they don't get one of those guys, and if they don't get Pete Alonso or another big bat, and Bregman leaves, I mean,
it's a disaster.
Nightmare scenario.
That is a disaster. Speaking of the pitching.
Thank
you, John Heyman.
Speaking of the pitching, Breslow was asked about this as well on 310 to left. See if this sounds familiar, Keith. Andy Hart pointed this out yesterday, perhaps on their show. I saw him do it on Twitter. But this answer probably should sound familiar from Craig Breslow.
What we need to do and what we'll do over the course of the offseason is take a step back and really recognize what type of potential pitching additions or acquisitions really move the needle for us, because we do have, what I would suggest is a strong group of pitching depth. And so we want to make sure that any additions that we make actually improve our team. And, you know, I think you can say, hey, we've got to add someone at the front of the rotation, or, you know, if there was significantly less depth, we would say we need to just amass depth because of the things like injury and attrition that wear that down. Where we don't want to find ourselves is having to address both. And I don't think that's the case right now.
So he feels they have the depth, which is a bit of a scary answer. But again, we want impact pitching. He said that going into the deadline last year.
Yeah.
And unless you count Dustin May.
I don't.
I do not either.
No.
They did not get quote-unquote impact pitching.
No, they got Dustin May. They got, in totality, Steven Matz, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison. These guys were all added at some point during the season. They had an impact, I would say. They had a negative impact.
Not a strong impact.
No. And, like, you also, I think a good example last year is, like, the guys that don't have a real track record, you simply can't rely on. So Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford 2 years ago were pretty good. And if you went into last year thinking you were going to get like a good season out of them, like they didn't even pitch. So
I would go into next year saying, I hope one of Houck, Crawford, Sandoval, who they signed in like a Giolito style deal a year ago, I would hope,
yeah.
not count on, but I would hope one of those three guys can pitch for me.
And even like Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early, I like both those guys a lot. I like those guys more than the three you just named.
I hope one of those two are in the rotation.
Yeah, so maybe that's what he's referring to in like depth, is like you do have a pile of guys to choose from, but who's it going to be besides Crochet and Bayo? Like, I'll throw Bayo on there. Like, and you need another guy.
And maybe Giolito.
Maybe Giolito.
But that's a maybe. You don't even
know
if he's back.
Yeah, that's an injury thing and a contract thing.
Right. We don't know if he's back. We don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you really look at his career year to year. You really don't know, all due respect to the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Well,
you really don't know what kind of pitcher he's going to be year to year. 617-779-7937. Robson Swamskit. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I don't know how to say this nice, so I'm just going to say it. You got to get rid of that nightmare at first base known as Tristan Casas, because he is not going to help you. If Breslow's talking about someone who's going to move the needle, he's not going to move the needle, okay? Either he's injured, or he thinks too much of himself, or he feels his footwork at first base is exquisite, and then he boots two balls that night. So he's not what you need. You do need an Alonzo that you got to clear out. You know, it's like when you're trying to get a better renter in an apartment, first thing you got to do is the person who you're trying to evict. And you got to evict.
Your landlord, Rob?
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly.
Your landlord?
On the up and up. But okay.
I got thrown out of an apartment once.
The first thing you got to do is get that renter you want out.
Yeah.
So you can bring in a good one.
You
got to
find the source of the problem. You got to get that out. No, Casas can go. Now, the problem is his...
Well, he has no value.
Zero value. Both Jaren Duran and Tristan Casas' value from maybe 2 years ago or last year at this time versus now.
If you put Campbell, Casas, Duran all in the same deal, I don't even know what that would get you.
I mean...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Something.
Zach Gallen?
Yeah, something, but not what I think people are hoping.
Not even.
So... I don't think Casas is a part of their...
You could get Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks.
I don't think he's a part of their plans at all. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, if they strike out on Alonzo, he's their first baseman.
Breslow had a good non-answer a couple weeks back when he was asked about Casas straight up, and he was like, yeah, well, it's a little early to be penciling in anybody at first base.
He's either going to Worcester or he's gone, but he's got no value.
No.
None.
Now, I think they got to wait, though, don't they, until hopefully they get Pete Alonzo, or hopefully they get Kyle Schwarber, or hopefully they get somebody like that. Because if they don't,
and your hand's a little forced in any trades, but I don't know.
Who do you got over there the other hot corner?
I feel like there's a million guys you could plug in at first base.
Even off the scrap heap.
Yeah, no, not on this
team. Bring Nate Lowe back.
No, but like...
Ooh, Nate Lowe.
Is Naylor a free agent? Like, guys like that. So like,
I think so.
I think there's another tier or two down from Alonzo where you could still upgrade on Casas. I don't think he's a part of their plans. If he is, then I'm horrified as well. I wouldn't worry too much about it, Rob. Worry about evicting all your renters.
Yeah, first base, Pete Alonzo, Josh Naylor, Ryan O'Hearn, Carlos Santana, Paul Goldschmidt, who's 100, Justin Turner, who's even older.
Yeah, I mean,
Dom Smith, bring Dom Smith back.
That's not a great list, but like, you can, after the first two or three names, that's not a great list. Devers plays first base. Yeah, he does. That's true. Not well. 617-779-7937, and of course not here. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. Meanwhile, Joe Mazzulla, prior to the game, spoke about the media game. His view on the media game.
Yeah, you're making it worse, Joe.
Which is a little warped. We also have a Celtics season preview when we go on the clock at high noon. Stay tuned for it on Jones and Keefe.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Hey, thanks for yesterday too, guys. I obviously didn't know it was going to turn into what it did, but I don't think you realize how much it helped me, you know, see. I think one of the reasons, you know, there's no stage up here today because I felt like after yesterday we all had our guard down and like we were all in the competitive arena together. That meant a lot to lower everyone's guard and, you know, bust balls and do all that stuff. So it was cool to see everybody in a natural environment. And you know, sometimes we're coming from a competitive arena and you're not in a competitive arena. You're just doing your job. And that's where things get misinterpreted. But like for all of us to be in the same arena, I think that says a lot. So yesterday was very, very important. It'll be laughed at and joked about, but it means a lot more to humanize. We have too many interactions where it's coach and you, like everyone's doing their job. But we all got to see Corrales shove, you know, Jack Simone, which is no different than me getting pissed at Jack Simone's question, right? It's a competitive reaction to a thing that's going on. So if anything, we have to do it more because it humanizes the competition. And I realize how much you guys really like the game and care about it. So I hope that it doesn't drag on as something that's funny. It's something that was serious, you know. So I meant that. And that was important that we did that yesterday, and we'll do it again. So thanks. Appreciate it.
We'll do it again. There's going to be another one of these?
He's the weirdest guy in the city. Like, I don't even think it's up for debate. He's an odd duck. He always has been. We always kind of joke around about it. But then he keeps, like, adding to it. And this is, like, the latest of it. It's like, I hope you guys don't, like, find it funny. It's like, you full court pressed a bunch of beat writers for 12 minutes and beat them 57-4. Then you're showing highlights of it during the preseason game last night.
So we heard this. I didn't realize this. We heard this right before the show. Yeah. Terp was mentioning, because there's a preseason game last night.
Yeah.
Celtics won. Xavier Tillman with a big late shot. Jaylen Brown's hammy is barking at him.
Right.
How big of an issue is that we can get to? But Terp's like, oh, yeah, they had a highlight of me on the Jumbotron from the media game.
Right.
So Mazzulla, before the game, goes, I didn't want it to turn into what it did. He's pretending like he big-brained the whole thing. Like, oh, what I actually wanted to do is see how you guys were competing, as opposed to just sending a message to these beat writers like, how dare you?
I know, but he also had
to even ask me a basketball question. I know what you play, what you look like as a basketball player. You're not on my level. Like, clearly that's what was going on.
He also had a weird line in there about how, like, basically people, like, other people's jobs, like, aren't competitive. It's like, yeah, no, it's different, but they're all competitive. Yeah. Like, you tell a sales guy or girl, like, that's not competitive. Well, sure. You're, like, literally fighting for every dollar you make. Like, that's not competitive.
No, or even, like, you're at the Globe and the Herald, or you're at WEEI and Mass Life. There's no competition there?
No.
Like, what are you talking
only
about?
Only basketball.
So anyways, whatever.
Only he would understand.
Fine. But the idea that, like, he big-brained it, and he just wanted to see, oh, I took away the, did you notice there's no podium here today because we're all the same? Like, that's what he was doing?
Yeah, no, he's...
Get out of my face with that.
He's 10 steps ahead.
But then, oh, I had no idea it was going to turn into this. I can't believe it turned into this. I'm so sorry. And then 5 minutes later, they're showing highlights of it on the Jumbotron?
Correct.
What?
Celtics' Twitter account was, like, posting all kinds of clips. They posted the score. They posted everything. So, like, they got it out there. Also, you're playing against 12 writers. What do you think they're going to do with that?
Yeah.
if any of them are any good, they're going to write about
they're
it.
Mention
which
it.
I think they all did.
Yeah.
Like, right. So that's it's going to become a big deal.
And you said in your media scrum at the end, guys, you're not playing each other today. You're playing the coaches. And they, like, walked off like it was, like,
it was all
threat.
Fired up about
like,
it.
It was a threat.
It was
so
a threat,
like, look,
yeah.
I don't – and when I say threat, I don't mean that literally. I know it was a John Zanis yesterday on Twitter was like, oh, it's bullying and all this. I'm like, oh, let's not go too far with any of it.
I think it is funny, but now Mazzulla's trying to tell us it's not even funny.
Thank you.
And he's like, this was actually really good for everybody to do. Like, no, it wasn't.
It's not
it was funny.
It's not bullying. No one needs a safe space.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
None of that. I'm
we
not
can
saying
handle
that.
It.
Right. It was funny. But don't pretend like that wasn't your intention was to stomp on and embarrass these beat writers. That's fine. It's funny.
Do whatever
I laughed
you want.
At
they
I
were there for it.
Yeah. Don't turn around and say, guys, I took away the podium.
Yeah.
We're all on the same level. I can't believe it turned into what it did.
And now we know each other so well.
I wanted to see us all in a competitive environment. Let's go have a beer sometime.
Right.
Like, don't do that either.
Yeah. This was the only way for us to bond. Well, this is the only way. Us beating you by 50 points in a 12-minute game.
Zanis, among other people, did have a good point. He's like, if you really wanted to bond and all get on the same level, why don't you divvy up some of the coaches and split them up with the media?
You easily could have picked teams.
You didn't have to stomp on them. You could have a God Sham God over here and Emil Jefferson over there and then Terp on one team and Jack Simone and whoever
you
else
could have done that.
On the other team.
You also could have done – Joe Mazzulla could have coached one of the teams.
Sure.
But like, call timeout, get inside the huddle with Joe Mazzulla, have him screaming at Terp to get to the corner.
Mazzulla
could have
coached
office,
one media team.
And Sam Cassell coaches another.
Thank you. And
there's 100
that'd be another
different
way to
ways to do it. But if you're going to do it this way, and I'm with you, I'm not even like completely anti-against it. I think it's made it a pretty funny story overall. But if you're like, you can't, don't even enjoy this, you guys don't get the context. That's what his thing was. You don't get the context. Yeah, I do. You were like, oh, we have an opportunity to just stick it to the media who's going to ask us questions. And, oh, by the way, this season may not go the way we want it to go. So there might be some times where they have the opportunity to, you know, hit us with some questions that we don't want to answer. So we'll take our chances now to embarrass them.
Yeah, don't pretend it was bonding. It wasn't bonding.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, look, I think the beat writers had a good time with it. I think they've all been good-natured about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying they didn't have any fun. But, like, don't tell me that's what Joe Mazzulla was trying to do.
No.
Joe Mazzulla was playing macho head games, which is fine. I'm okay with that. It's not bullying. No one needs a safe space.
Yeah.
But don't pretend it was anything other than what it was.
We're getting multiple texts about the old Joe Mazzulla games that we played before, which I think next week we may have to come back with another one.
I think you're going to be hearing one next week, yes.
So.
You see, I know you saw Broussard on Twitter. You sent this last night.
Yeah, this guy.
Chris Broussard on Twitter. What the heck has happened to the NBA media? It's a screenshot of the score, 57-4.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, here we go.
Myself, Stephen A., Mike Wise. We're really going back in the day. If Mike Wise is in this game.
Remembers.
Who's Mike Wise?
I think he was at the Washington Post, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
Jerry Bembry. Matt Steinmetz, a.k.a. the media Larry Bird.
I don't know
who this guy is.
I know Steinmetz.
Sean Powell and Rick Bucher are taking out Mazzulla and company.
Dude, you're not. You're not. Now, would it be 57-4? Probably
Maybe not.
No. I mean, like, I don't know how many guys on that list played college basketball, but let's just assume.
Well, I
half
assume
or
Matt
all of them
Steinmetz,
did.
The media Larry Bird, must have played at, you know, UNC.
But, like,
I would guess.
That's just so dumb. The coach. So Joe Mazzulla was on a Final Four team. Deshaun Butler's on a Final Four team. Emil Jefferson was
1,000-point scorer.
Statistically, one of the better players in Duke history.
Yeah.
Godsham God Jr. apparently is like a super athlete, and they're all in shape still. This is so back in the day. This is the other thing. A lot of coaching staffs were probably old. Think about how many old coaches there were. It's a new guard now. Like these guys are.
Aren't they all like early 30s?
Yes.
Okay.
Shamgod is probably in his 20s.
And I know from watching some of these Celtics documentaries the last few years.
Yeah.
And it might have been Simmons' one. It might have been another peek behind the curtain that the Celtics did. I don't remember which one. But you see the coaches like scrimmaging Tatum. So these guys are going from playing.
Yeah.
They're matched up on Tatum
was
one
Bill
day.
Was Bill Fitch doing that? Was he D-ing up Jaylen Brown?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
but it's
so.
Like one day these guys are playing against and defending Tatum.
Yeah.
And then the next day it's Terp. And it's like, what do you expect? Like, of course.
It's so stupid.
But, yeah, maybe Chris Broussard.
Oh, Broussard from the clouds, though. Like, hey, remember me, how good of an athlete I was? Like, yeah, you were so close. You almost made it to the league.
Stephen A. did play college basketball.
Yeah, but Jason Whitlock, this is how they got in their whole beef. Jason Whitlock was like, he was terrible. And no. Stephen A.'s like, I wasn't. And then he's like, he found an old box score where he had, like, no points.
But I'm saying, to Stephen A.'s credit, he was good enough to play college basketball. That's a good basketball player.
Yeah.
These guys were all super high-level college basketball players, and they're all in their 30s.
Right. If you play at Hobart or you play at Duke, there's a big difference there. You're gonna be able to notice one more than the other.
Unreal. Speaking of the Celtics, let's go on the clock. Give you a 60-second preview each on how the season is going to go for the Celtics when it opens less than a week from tonight. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.